الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most salient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities. Allah azza wa jal says, "Inna rahmati wasi'at kulla shay'." My mercy encompasses everything. One of the ways through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to taste of His mercy is giving us the opportunity to make dua. Dua is one of the most special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can enjoy. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to experience a yearning and a desire to turn to Him and make dua, that is a moment that we should capitalize on. It is a moment that we should not allow to go by without us taking opportunity and making most of that moment, because it is Allah who creates within your heart the desire to turn to Him. It is Allah who creates within your heart the desire to make dua to Him. So when you experience that moment, especially during the month of Ramadan, very often Allah allows you to experience that desire to turn to Him and make dua to Him. That is the nature of this month of Ramadan. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to it as shahrun yustajabu fihi dua. Duas are answered in the month of Ramadan. لِصَائِمِ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ دَعْوَةٌ لَا تُرَدْ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at the time of iftar, what a special moment. When you make a dua at that time, the dua is not rejected by Allah at the time of iftar. So these are moments, every moment in the month of Ramadan is moments of dua. The Quran is replete with duas that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam had made. Their lives revolved around dua. At every moment, they would make dua. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every moment of his life, he was engaged in one dua or another. The Anbiya understood that dua was a means through which they could have their needs answered by Allah or have their needs fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they also understood that dua is one of the most effective ways to remain connected to Allah. The more you make dua, the closer you are to Allah. The more easy you find it, and the more comfortable you are with making dua, and the more readily you make dua, that is one of the signs that there is a strong relationship between Allah and that slave of His who looks for every opportunity to raise his hands and make dua to Allah. He looks forward to making dua, and he's always anticipating those moments when du'as are answered. He knows in the latter part of the night, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ الدُّعَاءِ أَسْمَعْ. Ya Nabi of Allah, which du'a is readily answered by Allah? Which du'a is readily answered by Allah? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. The du'a that's made in the last part of the night. So this person goes to sleep looking forward to waking up at that moment, because he loves making dua to Allah in that moment. He waits for the time of iftar. Why? Because he knows that's a moment of communicating with Allah. Between the adhan and iqamah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بين الأذان والإقامة دعوة لا ترد. Between every adhan and iqamah, if you make a dua, it is not rejected by Allah. So the more you make dua, the more you look for opportunity to make dua, the more happy you get when you make dua, it's a very strong sign of your closeness to Allah. And when you're not making dua, and you don't look forward to making dua, and you don't feel the need to make dua, that denotes distance from Allah. We ask Allah afia. Think about your relationship with a person, with a friend. There is the friend with whom you are very comfortable. You look for every opportunity to speak with him. You look forward to meeting with him. You find it very easy to pick up the phone and make a call to him. you're very comfortable presenting a need before him. Whenever you meet him, you want to spend time talking with him and you want to spend time engaged in conversation with him. What does that denote? Closeness in your relationship. It shows the two of you have a very strong bond. You are very comfortable speaking with him and communicating with him. But then there is another person. You do not look forward to meeting him. You do not look forward to contact him. And even if there is an opportunity to speak with him or contact him, there's reluctance. You keep it as brief as possible. You don't want to allow that moment to be prolonged. You keep it as short, as concise, and there's reluctance. What does it denote? It denotes that the relationship between the two is not a strong one. There's distance. The same applies to your relationship with Allah. One of the most important aspects of dua is that over and above having your needs fulfilled through dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your dua, it is one of the most effective ways to remain connected with Allah, to connect your heart with Allah. And that's what we all desire during the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is all about taqwa. Taqwa is to connect the heart with Allah. There is a special dua that I would like to share with you this afternoon that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make at the end of his salah. At the end of salah, that's a moment when du'as are answered. Unfortunately, we don't make most of that moment before salam. After Durood Ibrahim, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend lengthy periods making many du'as in that moment. And think about salah. Think about that moment. Before you arrive at that moment in salah, you are engaged in the glorification of Allah, you are praising Allah. And salah is an action which combines glorification through your action and through your words. So you commence with an action by raising the hands and denouncing everything besides Allah and uttering the takbir, Allahu Akbar. And now you are engaged in salah. And then you are praising Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduk. Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah describes it as a dialogue between the reciter and between Allah. It's a dialogue between Allah and the one reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to him when he praises Allah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, majidani abdi, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah acknowledges the praises whilst he's reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Then he goes into ruku'. Ruku' is an action through which you express your servitude before Allah. While in the ruku', he's glorifying Allah. Subhana rabbi al-azim, subhana rabbi al-azim. He goes into sujood. Aqrab ma yakunu al-abdu ila rabbi wa huwa sajid. The closest you can come to Allah in this dunya is when you are in sajda. And there you are glorifying Allah. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. And then you come to the end of your salah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat. You're presenting greetings before Allah. That is followed by durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now you arrive at that moment. What a special moment. Allahu Akbar. After glorifying Allah, bowing before Allah, prostrating before Allah, thanking Allah, now dua is answered. There's a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make amongst many other duas that he would make during that moment. We are allowed to make any dua, provided that dua is in Arabic and it's a prescribed dua from the Quran and from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dua is recorded by Imam al-Tabarani and al-Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahumallah. And in fact, Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, in that riwayah, in that narration, it states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the dua in the salah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fil amr wal-azimata ala al-rushd. وأسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك وأسألك شكر نعمتك وحسن عبادتك وأسألك قلبا سليما ولسانا صادقا وأسألك من خير ما تعلم وأعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم وأستغفرك لما تعلم إنك أنت علام الغيوب. عليه وسلم, he addressed Shaddad bin Aws. He taught this dua to a close companion of his by the name of Shaddad bin Aws رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said, Ya Shaddad, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ فَكْنِزْ أَنْتَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Oh Shaddad, a time will come where you will observe that people are preoccupied in accumulating dunya. They will wake up in the morning with the sole purpose of accumulating dunya, gold and silver and the material things of this world, gathering it, investing in it, accumulating it, spending it, saving it, storing it. When that time arrives, O Shaddad bin Aus, then you gather these words. This dua, you gather it, memorize it, learn it, recite it, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this dua. Why? Because what you are asking for Allah in this dua is far greater than all the worldly material things that they will be preoccupied with and the material things that they will gather. What is the dua? Allahumma inni as'aluka thabata fil amr. The first thing a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks for in this dua, and that we should ask for all the time, Oh Allah, I ask you for a thabat fil amr. What is a thabat? A thabat is to keep me firmly established, steadfastness. Very often, as the month of Ramadan draws to an end, there is a fear. And there is this, this feeling of anxiety. That how long will I be able to maintain this level of spirituality that I had developed in the month of Ramadan? We should make dua that Allah grants us thabat beyond the month of Ramadan. Let alone beyond the month of Ramadan. Sometimes in the month of Ramadan, we are finding it difficult to maintain consistency. That eagerness, the energy that we had during the first 10 days and 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, we find that for some reason or another, it's no longer there during the middle 10 days and the middle 10 nights of Ramadan. Ulama have said that أَوْسَطُ رَمَضَانَ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِ وَآخِرُهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ أَوْسَطِهِ. The middle 10 days of Ramadan is superior to the first 10 days of Ramadan. And the last 10 days of Ramadan is superior to the middle 10 days of Ramadan. Why is that? Because generally when you are coming towards any spiritual engagement, you suffer from spiritual fatigue towards the end. So there was this burst of energy during the first 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. But slowly, as you reach the 11th and the 12th and so on and so forth of the month of Ramadan, you come to the middle segment of Ramadan, there seems to be lack of energy that you had displayed during the first 10 days and nights of Ramadan. And that's why the middle 10 days and the middle 10 nights of Ramadan is better. Why? Because now it's more difficult for you to do what you had done in the first week of Ramadan. So the first thing we ask Allah for, al-thabat fil amr, so important. Ya Allah, grant me steadfastness upon al-amr. Al-amr, all of deen, not only one area of deen. Every area of deen, whether it is my ibadat, my spiritual obligations towards you, O Allah, whether it is my mu'amalat, my dealings and my monetary engagements and arrangements, Ya Allah, allow me to consistently, at every given point, allow me to remain steadfast upon the teachings of deen and what is required from me in that particular situation, regardless of the situation. Al-thabat fil amr. Whether it is my social conduct or my social interaction, whether it is the way I speak with others and the way I treat others, oh Allah, grant me thabat. Grant me steadfastness, consistency upon all of deen. Now, a dua carries no weight, and a dua is absolutely ineffective if the dua is not followed by one actively pursuing what he makes dua for. Dua is one part of it, but the dua must be followed by actively pursuing what it is that you make dua for. You cannot make dua for something but not actively pursue it, not make an effort to acquire that which it is you make dua for. A sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he requested a dua from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. Only of Allah, I make dua, or I ask you that you make dua that I enjoy your companionship in paradise, in Jannah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, A'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. I will make the dua, but you need to help me. I'll make the dua to add energy to that. This is the Nabi of Allah. His dua is answered. Yet he's telling the Sahabi, you help me with my dua by engaging in a lot of sujood. You immerse yourself in ibadah, show Allah, you actively pursuing what it is that you are asking me to make dua for. So that's very important, to actively pursue that which I make dua for. Otherwise, the dua is useless. Now I'm asking Allah for al-thabat fil amr. Oh Allah, you keep me steadfast upon all of deen, till the time I die. How can I actively pursue? There are many ways. The ulama have recommended, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed, many ways through which we can acquire this quality of consistency upon deen, firmly established upon deen. One is to dedicate on a daily basis. You must dedicate time to spiritual engagements. Absolutely important. You cannot go to sleep without not dedicating that time where you have spent a considerable amount of time engaged and immersed in the ibadah of Allah. That helps you al-thabat fil amr. When you have ensured that you are spiritually healthy. That is so important. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, Allah has given us the opportunity to engage in certain spiritual engagements. This needs to continue beyond the month of Ramadan in order for us to remain consistent upon deen. You have come to the masjid for salah. Let that remain after the month of Ramadan. Over and above that, in the morning, you have spent time engaged in dua or in salah or in dhikr, the recitation of the Quran. That must be a daily practice in the life of a believer in order to enjoy consistency upon deen. Your inclination towards deen, your eagerness to practice deen, stems from your spiritual state. The stronger you are spiritually, the more inclined you are towards deen. And the more you would want to remain firm upon deen. Number two is introduce in your home family ibadah time, quality family ibadah time on a daily basis, where the family sits together for 15 minutes, 20 minutes at a suitable time, and collectively you engage in an ibadah. 5 minutes dedicated to recitation of the Quran, perhaps Suratul Mulk or Suratul Yasin, or whatever other chapter of the Quran. Another 5 minutes, everyone engages in a collective dhikr. Everyone should recite Ahabbul Kalimat Indallah. Perhaps today everyone will recite the most beloved words in the sight of Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allah Akbar. Let everyone recite that. Engaging the ta'aleem, recitation of a hadith or more. That helps you and your family and your progeny to come to remain steadfast upon deen. So first is my personal moments of solitude with Allah. Al-khalwa ma'allah is the most important thing, moments of solitude with Allah, to keep you established upon deen. Number two, introduce quality family ibadah time on a daily basis. Absolutely necessary. Number three, associate with those who already enjoy al-thabat al-deen. Your company defines you. Identify those people who are upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with consistency, and associate with them, stay with them, remain in their company. Allah will make it easy for you to remain consistent upon deen. So that's the first thing, he made dua. We are discussing the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made and would often make at the end of his salah before making salam. The first thing he made dua for, Allahumma inni as'aluka thabata fil amr. Oh Allah, ask you for consistency and steadfastness upon all of deen. Wal azimata ala rushd. Number two, oh Allah, grant me decisiveness in righteousness. Decisiveness in righteousness, where I do not procrastinate in the opportunity of fulfilling an act of righteousness. Whenever there is an opportunity for me to fulfill an act of righteousness and piety, oh Allah, there's azimah. I do it decisively, without procrastination. When the adhan is called out for salah, then I decide that I'm going to do it. It's a matter of us deciding we want to do it, And Allah will give us the ability to do it. It starts with a decision on your part. You are here for Jumu'ah today. Why? Because you decided long time ago. A long time ago, you already decided you are going to go for Jumu'ah Salah. That is why you are here for Jumu'ah Salah. If you decide, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا أَرَادَ. Allah says it starts with a decision that you make. You went to work this morning, you went to school this morning, or you went to campus this morning. Why? You already decided you are going to do it. أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ. First decide you want Jannah. Have I decided I want Jannah? Have I made the irada? Have I decided it? So it starts with a decision on your part. Then Allah will grant you tawfiq. Man arad al-akhirah. Decide I want Jannah. Decide I want to offer every salah in the masjid with jama'ah. Decide I want to be close to Allah. Decide. You decide it. And the natural outcome of the decision you make, Allah says, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Then the effort will follow. With everything in life, you first decide what you want to do, and then you make the effort to get it. العزيمة على الرشد. ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. Allah will appreciate it once you have decided to do it. This is the month of decisions, the month of resolutions. Decide in this month of Ramadan what changes I need to make. And the greatest decision I need to make is to never abandon Salah. Never will I abandon Salah for the rest of my life. How can a Muslim whom Allah has given the health, whom Allah has given the time, whom Allah has given the energy, whom Allah has given the strength, whom Allah has given the means to offer Salah, how can such a Muslim still abandon Salah? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no greater musibah than that. There's no greater loss than that. There's no greater calamity than that. You lose a parent, you lose a mother, you lose a father. Great loss, indeed. Irreplaceable loss. May Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. But you lose your salah, it's a greater loss than that. To bury a child is a great loss. It's a great musibah. A loss that none of us wish to experience. But to lose your salah is a greater loss than that. Wallah. Why you lose your salah? You lose Allah. You lose Allah. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he quotes one of our mashayikh of the past who said, من فقد الله فقد كل شيء. You lose Allah, you lose everything. ومن وجد الله وجد كل شيء. And the one who has Allah, he has everything. اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر. Out of time. Two things that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for in the beginning of the dua. اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر والعزيمة على الرشد وأسألك موجبات رحمتك. The third thing he made dua for. Oh Allah, occupy me in all those things that will envelope me in your mercy. Occupy me in those things that will envelope me in your mercy. How do I actively pursue what I'm making dua for? I want Allah to envelope me in His mercy and keep me occupied in that which will envelope me in His mercy. What is the most effective way to pursue that? الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Have rahmah towards others. Have kindness, compassion towards others, especially those who are below you. Those who are above you, it's easy to pretend at times to have rahmah and compassion for them. But what about those who are below you? Those who are under you? Show them rahmah, show them kindness. Ask Allah to fill your heart with gentleness and compassion. And in turn, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah will shower you in His rahmah, which means Allah will keep you occupied in those actions that will draw the rahmah of Allah. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah filled your heart with rahmah, you were soft and kind towards the companions. And that is what attracted them towards you. So the third thing he made dua for was, وَأَسْأَلُكَ مُوجِبَاتِ رَحْمَتِكَ. The fourth thing, وَعَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ. عَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ. O Allah, keep me involved in all those actions that will secure your forgiveness. One of the most effective ways, how do I pursue actively that which I'm asking for, is forgive others. Forgive others. Allah will forgive you. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah forgives you? Forgive others, Allah will forgive you. Forgiveness is first personal and then divine. Forgiveness is first personal, between you and your brother, between you and your aunt, between you and your uncle, between you and your sibling, between you and your co-worker. Forgiveness is first personal, then it's divine. How can you expect Allah to forgive you when you are not prepared to forgive others? وَأَسْأَلُكَ مُجِبَاتِ رَحْمَتِكَ وَعَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ وَأَسْأَلُكَ شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِكَ. Oh Allah, I ask you to make me one who is constantly appreciative and grateful for every bounty that I enjoy. A shukra al-ni'mah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua for this quality all the time. After salah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, never leave out this dua. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me remain constantly in your shukr. Rabbi ij'alni laka shakkara, laka dhakkara, laka rahaba, laka mitwa'a, laka mukhbitan ilayka awaham muniba. Another dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make me shakkar, one whose heart is filled with gratitude. What are the signs that I have gratitude, that I have the quality of shukr? Shukr demands from you humility, number one. The more Allah gives you, whether spiritually or whether materially, of a worldly nature, of a spiritual nature, the more Allah gives you, the more humble you become. The higher you ascend, the lower you feel within you. Number two, you share the bounty that Allah has given you, you share it with others. Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. That's a sign of shukr. And number three, you use the bounty in a way that earns Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness. Then he made dua, Rasulullah says, wa husna ibadatik. Oh Allah, allow me to worship you in the most excellent way. Wa as'aluka qalban saliman. Oh Allah, grant me a clean heart. Clean heart. The path to Allah is trodden with the heart. The path to Allah is not trodden with the feet. And the grudges, the bitterness, the ill feelings, the jealousy, the malice that we contain within the heart, that prevent us from treading the path, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalban saliman wa lisanan sadiqa. Grant me a truthful tongue. A tongue that will not hurt the feelings of others. A tongue that will not speak a lie. A tongue that will not tarnish the reputation of another. Oh Allah, grant me that type of a tongue. Lisan al sadiqa. Wa as'aluka min khayri ma ta'alam. I ask you of all the good things that you know. Wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma ta'alam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from all the evil that you know of. Wa astaghfiruka lima ta'alam. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness for all that you know that I have done throughout my life. Innaka anta 'allamul ghuyub. Oh Allah, you are the full knower of all things that are hidden. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.